The war on terror is on the agenda in Brunei today, where the 10-member Association of Southeast Asian Nations concludes its meeting. Secretary of State Colin Powell is joining ASEAN foreign ministers in signing a regional counterterrorism measure. Powell used the two-day session for talks with several Asian foreign ministers, including North Korea's. Following the brief exchange between Powell and his North Korean counterpart, the two sides agreed to take steps towards resumption of a formal dialogue. President Bush ended the dialogue with North Korea when he took office. NPR's Vicky O'Hara is traveling with Secretary Powell. She joins me now. Vicky, has either the United States or North Korea said anything more about this resumption of dialogue?
The North Korean foreign minister apparently talked to reporters and said that Assistant Secretary of State for East Asian Affairs, that's James Kelly, is going to visit Pyongyang. But last night, U.S. officials here in Brunei said that there isn't going to be any decision made about some sort of formal meeting until Secretary Powell goes back to Washington and consults with other members of the administration, as well as the U.S. allies, Japan and South Korea.
Tell us about the counterterrorism agreement that's come out of this meeting.
It's a measure that pledges all of the signatories to work together in a variety of ways to halt funding of terrorism and also to reinforce border controls and visa procedures. The idea is to cut off the flow of money and to make it harder for terrorist suspects and people belonging to militant groups to move from one country to another. The agreement also calls for sharing of intelligence to allow law enforcement agencies to keep track of suspect individuals and their activities and presumably to apprehend them.
And how serious is the terrorism threat to the Southeast Asia region?
It's hard to quantify. Singapore, Malaysia, and Philippines have arrested dozens of people since September 11th. Some are suspected of plotting against the U.S. Some are simply connected with militant Islamic groups that are perceived as a threat by one of those governments. Southeast Asia has very large Muslim populations, and militancy is on the rise. That's been a big topic at this year's conference of Southeast Asian nations, not just because of security issues, but because of their economic concerns. Southeast Asian countries are very dependent on both investment and tourism, and perceptions that the region is unstable or some sort of haven for terrorism have had very serious economic consequences.
Is the U.S. satisfied with the level of cooperation on terrorism?
State Department officials say that Malaysia and Singapore have been very helpful. Thailand, they say, hasn't been asked for much, but also hasn't refused anything, and also supports the UN conventions on terrorism. In the Philippines, of course, the U.S. until recently had forces on the ground to help train the Philippines military in counterterrorism. In the case of Indonesia, well, Jakarta is considered more problematic.
And what's the problem there with Indonesia?
Well, it's a huge country. It's spread over a vast archipelago, which is a challenge for law enforcement, even without terrorism. It has the world's largest Muslim population and powerful Islamic separatist movements in some parts of the country. Other governments in Southeast Asia complain that Indonesia's president, Megawati, is not really, or at least is not fully committed to the fight against terrorism. And they point to the fact that Islamic militants who are arrested in Indonesia tend to be released in short order. A senior State Department official says that Indonesia is trying to improve, but he makes the point that it's a country in transition. It has a very weak police force, which is a legacy of former President Suharto, and also weak financial institutions, and that makes it very difficult to track how money is being used.
Thanks much. NPR's Vicky O'Hara is traveling with Secretary of State Powell in Southeast Asia.